So hello, good evening. I'm glad you guys are all here tonight. My name is Andrea Pellegrin, and I thought I would share a little bit about me and my family before we begin. My husband, Pete, and I have been married for 22 years, and we moved to Utah in 2007. So here is a picture of my family. There's Pete and I in the back. And then Elijah in the front, Abby's in the middle, and then Joshua. And we also have three cats. Basil is with Elijah, Freyer is with Abby, and Lemon is with Josh. And yes, we did dress them in cat pajamas. And it was hilarious to us, and it was utterly annoying to our cats. So a little bit about me. I really enjoy cooking and sharing food and meals with others. And I also really enjoy gardening and find many parallels there when I'm tending the soil, waiting for seeds to germinate and grow. And I see similarities in how God has worked in my own life. So that's something, a little bit about me. We've been coming to The Rock for 16 years, and it's been a tremendous blessing for our family. I've also been coming to Ladies' Night for a while, since the Sandy Building, for any of you that remember that building. Well, long ago, on one of those nights, I sat in the audience just as you are tonight, and I thought to myself, I could never do what that woman is doing. And I was nervous for her. And I prayed, God, please don't ever have me do something like that. And yet, here we are. So, God has a wonderful sense of humor, doesn't he? Okay, before we begin, I'd like to pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share what you've taught me, and I pray that it would be a blessing to everyone here and that we could go away changed. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read the whole set of verses that we're talking about, but mine are going to be the last two that we talk about. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So the last two that I'm going to talk about, the two final parts of the Christian armor, are God's gifts, and they are pure and simple salvation and the word of God. And these last two pieces of armor, being wholly God's gift, we are bidden with special emphasis to, which is shown by a change in the instruction. All of the other ones said having, we're now meaning they are already in place. We are to take and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The other ones, since they are already in place, are not to be removed ever. So I want to begin by explaining what the helmet of salvation is and then how we use it every day. It's important to remember that we're in a spiritual battle every day, that there is no neutral ground, and the hope of our salvation is the anchor of our soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation." And as Christians, once you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot lose your salvation, and that is good news. However, we have all struggled with thoughts and questions such as, am I really saved? But I failed again at insert whatever there. Am I still saved, and how can I be sure? Begin by remember to trust in Christ alone and all that he has accomplished. John MacArthur put it well when he said, "I think when you understand the greatness of your salvation, when you understand the permanence of your salvation, when you understand the eternity of your salvation, when you understand the love of your Savior, it anchors you in the middle of the battle." And we would do well to remember that. The helmet also protects your mind. The reason I bring this up is because Satan wants you to feel defeated before the day even begins. Throughout our days, we'll have choices to make, either to believe God or believe Satan. An example from my life is when I've been harsh with my children, responding in irritation or frustration, and I'm convicted of my shortcomings, and I can either choose to believe Satan and wallow in, well, if I was a better mom, I wouldn't do that, or I can believe God and ask him for forgiveness and for my children, and then walk in that forgiveness. This is just one example, and that I'm sure you can think of many situations in your own lives where that similar thought has come to mind and persisted. And believing what God says protects our mind. Again, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but is warfare every day. So daily, you must renew your mind with God's word and let it wash over you. Let it go deep in your heart and let the word change you and do the good work that God has for you. Again, read your Bible. Think deeply about what you have read and obey the word. Test what culture says and the world around us, what they say, with what the Bible says. Ask God your questions and search for the answers in his word. In addition, God gave us one another in this body of believers, so we can go ask one another, especially those who are spiritually older than us and wiser. When we're confident in our salvation and can trust it, that's how the helmet can protect us. The helmet of salvation is also meant to help us think properly and to help us see properly. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You may have questions about the world that we live in. If Jesus has come and conquered evil, then why do we still see it seemingly running rampant? Just look at our local or world news, and you will not have to go far to see strife, hurt, war, and unrest. Jesus did conquer evil and death, and that outcome cannot change and will not change. Until Jesus comes again, evil will still reside in the world. And although Satan tries to thwart God's plan, he can never affect the outcome of Christ's death and resurrection. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Having the helmet of salvation on reminds us that God is on the throne and working all things out for his good and glory. The evil one, however, would like us to get distracted by the lies that he's constantly trying to get past our shield. He'll pose question after question to see if we doubt God's goodness, his word, the truth, our salvation. For example, noise. The world is a noisy place that is constantly vying for your attention. Our hurried lives, everything that we do, even lives that are possibly filled so full that there is no room for God in your life. The devil does not want quietness at all. He wants to avoid it. So the helmet of salvation is the absolute confidence of God's unending sovereign grace. Hold on to that truth. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." And Revelation 21:5, "He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" God gives us this protection, the helmet. So take it and put it on every day. And then think. The Bible does not ask us to believe blindly. Search the scripture and the truth will be revealed. Understand that your salvation has happened to you when you accepted Christ, and it is happening to you daily as you believe God's word and his word that sin is no longer, it doesn't have a hold on you anymore. Although we still will fall. We're no longer bound by its power. And then finally, we will be free of sin forever when we enter into heaven. When you understand the struggles of this world gain for you a crown in heaven, a crown of life, a crown of rejoicing and righteousness, we can walk through our troubles knowing that God sees our pain and suffering, and we can find comfort in his word, like in this verse. It's not the whole thing on the slide, but I'm going to read you the whole thing. I took this picture a long time ago, and it's, I love it. So 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So how do we apply the helmet daily? The first is to read your Bible and read it every day and obey the word. Think of it as soul food. You feed your physical body every day. You also need to feed your spiritual body every day. And if you're not in the habit, then just start with 5 minutes. Do it even when you don't want to or you don't feel like it. I'd argue that those are the times that you need it most. Remember, when we will either believe God or Satan, and he does not want you to read your Bible ever. Ask God to give you a love for his word and do it every day until you realize, I do love his word. And then praise him for getting you there. I did this in my life, and I still do. I pray it for my children, my husband, my friends, new believers. God's word never returns void, and I find great comfort in that, and I believe you will too. Second is to believe the word, believe God. The culture and the world around us will tell you that the Bible is irrelevant. Again, you can choose to believe God or believe Satan. Remember, there is no neutral ground. Treasure the word. Treasure it. Jesus is your treasure, the incredible free gift of God to bring us to him. Treasure the word. Third, obey it and share it or teach it to someone. What this looks like in my life is teaching my children to love the word by laying down their lives for one another. We also talk about what we've read in our quiet times and how we can apply it that day. When they were really little, it was just teaching them verses on how to obey mom and dad and a few others, and that was our foundation. I recall a story from a long time ago, and it has stuck with me, which emphasizes why this is important. And it goes something like this. If I've taught my children how to swim, that may save them from drowning. But what about their eternal souls, entrusted to me for a time by God? Have I taught them what they must do in order to be saved? And I think this can be applied to others that God has placed in our lives too. Share Jesus with others. For those of us with children, teach them to love God and his word above all else and obey what it says. Teach them who Jesus is and to love him. Often your own lives can be the greatest example of Jesus, and sharing that with others is a gift. And yes, we will make mistakes, but God is faithful and he will work in their hearts. So take up your helmet and use it. So now the next piece that we're going to look at is in the armor is our only weapon, and it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I'll start by sharing what that is and then how to use it. And I found it incredibly fascinating what God gives the believer. It is a spiritual weapon used for cosmic battle, and it is ours. We are not fighting against our brothers and sisters, family and friends, neighbors, but against the unseen spiritual realm. And again, there is no even-handed ground here, and the enemy of your souls wishes us nothing but harm. Charles Spurgeon has such great thoughts. And he said this, and I loved it. In contending against the powers of darkness, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It is written, is his master stroke. Words which God has spoken by holy men of old and has caused to be recorded on the sacred page, these are the battle axe and weapons of war of his Spirit. The book contains the word of God and is the word of God. And this it is which the Holy Spirit judges to be so effectual a weapon against evil that he uses this and this only as his sword in the great conflict with the powers of darkness. Again, I really enjoyed that quote, and I had looked for a picture just to kind of illustrate what that might look like. And I found this, and I was just struck by how our lives can look like that sometimes. And we have to know that God gave us his word, and it is a sword, and it can be used to protect us, and it's an offensive weapon. So this was just one example of just what it could look like. We always need to be ready, having that in our hand. This weapon given to us suits every hand then, young or old, for every type of person, for every circumstance. And this weapon that we wield is timeless. It is sufficient for every situation that arises in our days. As moms, we have the opportunity to help our children through their days as we listen to what happened at school and remind them the truth of God's word. Or if your children are little, helping them navigate their emotions and what it looks like to obey their parents because we know what's best for them. Maybe it's listening to your husband's work day at work and supporting him with scripture or just listening. Any situation that you can think of, the word is perfect for it. Isn't it wonderful that the word is the same for all people at all times, past, present, and future? With that in mind, we need to pick it up and use it. The evil one will do anything to keep you from using this weapon as a defense against his efforts to pull you off the path of godliness. The word is pure, it is true, and it is infallible. Psalm 119, 140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it." And Psalm 12, 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." I have a story that I want to share with you that I've had tucked in my Bible for years that has encouraged me when the battle is very near and feels unbearable. It's not too long, but I'm just going to read it. It's from Malachi 3:3. "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." So this verse puzzled some women in a Bible study, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. One of the women offered to find out the process of refining silver and get back to the group at their next Bible study. That week, the woman called a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond the curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. And then she thought again about the verse that says, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver." She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered that, yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "Well, how do you know when the silver is fully refined?" And he smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy, when I see my image in it." If today you're feeling the heat of the fire, remember that God has his eye on you, and he will keep watching you until he sees his image in you. Every time I read that, I get choked up. I think it's so important to know that God's word is pure and that he uses his word to purify us. That sword, if you remember back when you were saved, it pierced your own heart. It hurt you to know of your sin, your own evil that Jesus died for. But it is that same sword that also binds up your wounds and heals you. That's why I wanted to share that story, because we have a magnificent God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God is refining you every time you pick up his word, read it, and obey it. His eyes are always on you, and he's holding you tenderly. The sword of the Spirit is the only weapon that you need. So now on to how do we use the spiritual weapon that God himself gave us. Jesus said these words many times when he was in the desert being tempted. by the evil one. It is written. As I mentioned before, what Charles Spurgeon wrote of God's word, it is written, it is his master stroke. The word is wielded by the Lord God himself. So we are to take up this sword, and it is a standing order. You may know what a standing order is. As a military term, it's an order that remains in force until specifically changed or withdrawn. And that is how we are to view the sword. We are to have it in our hands at all times, ready. That type of sword that the Bible speaks of is one that can be handled with one hand, and it is always attached to your belt of truth. And I brought one as an example. This is my daughter's sword, and it's a little elven sword. What I learned about this was that I thought that originally the sword was the 3-foot-long ones that I often see in pictures. But what the Bible talks about is a sword that is in your hand, it's easy to hold, you can always use it at any time. So I wanted to bring a visual. This is what it would look like. Well, maybe not exactly like this, but you get the idea. The evil one will try to take the word and twist it, making it sound like he's using it properly. And we must remember how Jesus wielded this great weapon. It is written. So get into the word and read it, know it, and believe it and obey it. Satan does not want you to be able to defend yourself, so he will offer distractions to see what door he might slip through. In my life, I can get easily distracted by my schedule and the kids' education as we homeschool. I found that some days, maybe hours have gone by and I've not thought about my Savior or just the word in general, and I've gotten distracted. Well, what then? I thank God for bringing it to my attention, and I either try to recall what I read that morning, or I go get in the Word, even if it's just for 5 minutes. Or, since we have the gift of technology, we can even listen to the Bible on our phones. Get into the Word, because it does you no good to just know about the Bible, or have it lying on your shelf untouched. Open the Word and drink deeply of the life-giving water that will quench every soul that thirsts for something that only the Lord Jesus himself can fill. Know the Word. Commit to memorizing Scripture in some way so that you can see the twisted words of the evil one for what they are, lies and destruction. Do what the Word says. Find something in God's Word to obey each day. What this looks like in my life is reading Proverbs along with my kids. The whole youth group is doing that right now. And then we read it and discuss it. We can find something to obey even in Proverbs each day. We're also called to advance the truth into the fortress of deception, and that starts with ourselves by washing and renewing our minds with the Word of God. And then we can teach others, share with others. Moms with children of any age have the opportunity to teach their children. Moms with grown children can still have the opportunity to offer wisdom to their children, but they also have wisdom to share with younger moms. One of the best ways to remember something is to teach it to someone else or talk with it about someone. And this is a wonderful way that we can build a spiritual culture of discussion, a culture of spiritual discussion in our homes. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, there are myriad times for us to engage with our children or the other women around us. Maybe you're not married yet or don't have children of your own. We gather with other believers and share what we're learning. We're following what the letter of the Hebrews said when we do not neglect to meet together and encourage one another and build each other up. How do we do this, though? I would suggest that you begin at home. Pick up your Bible and open it. On the days when you just don't feel like it, do it anyway, because those are the days you're going to need it most. If you still have littles, sit on the floor if you need to and read it out loud to yourself and to your children, a Proverbs, a Psalm, or something in the Gospels. We use the sword also to drive away doubts, unbelief, fallacy, every new denial of truth. Replace those things with words of Scripture. The list our church has given out is a great resource. It lists of who we are in Christ. Sit with the word and let the truth of Scripture set you free. Our toil with reading and understanding will be met with a deeper knowledge of who God is and his unchangeable character. And this takes time, our entire lifetime, in fact. And that should comfort you when you sit down and read the word, that you're not expected to know it all and understand it all right now. I can remember feeling frustrated that I didn't know as much as someone else, or that I didn't always understand everything that I read, and I wanted that wisdom, but I wasn't willing to do the work. But God is faithful. As I chose to do the work myself, or I wouldn't even call it work, but just doing what I wanted to do, getting to know my Savior, as I gave myself over to the Word, and you commit to reading and obeying it, God uses that heart of willingness. You will learn. God reveals himself day by day as we read the word that he gave us. Begin today to read the word, to know your Savior, to know how to combat the enemy when he strikes, to stand firm, and to withstand all that will come at us. Teach others and our children, those younger in age or spiritual age than yourselves, to build one another up. Romans 13:12 says, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the embodiment of the entire armor of God that he's given us. We put on this truth, and I want to encourage you with knowing that the Bible is truth. And it's not arrogance, as some may say it is. It's faith and it's belief. Again, we have a standing order to put on the armor, to take the sword of the Spirit and have it ready at all times. The Bible is a symphony, a masterfully orchestrated story from beginning to end, and it's God's story to us." I want you guys to remember this verse. This is the one that kept coming back to me as I was learning about this. It's Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is your anchor in the middle of the raging storm." I have something for you to help you remember that Jesus is your anchor. Tonight before you leave, I want you to grab one. You guys may know sweet Kelsey Beaver from our church, and I asked her to design something to help us remember who our anchor is, and she made us all this wonderful print. So don't forget to get one on the way out, okay? So what can we remember from tonight? Take your helmet and put it on, and remember where your hope lies. Remember the truth. Think properly about the word and your salvation. Your salvation is secure, and we have hope in Christ alone. The God of the universe sees fit to give his daughters his own sword of his own making, one that he uses himself, one that he puts the edge on to combat darkness and evil until the day he brings us home. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and read it, ponder it, memorize it, obey it. Use the word daily to parry the blows of the evil one and push back the powers of evil and slay your foe. Lastly, pray. Pray without ceasing. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Read and obey the word and pray. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that we will be women who love and obey your word and handle your word correctly and always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have in the anchor of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.